Hey, it's Boogie. I played T-Ball in Nickelodeon's iCarly. I got a chance to watch the Quiet On Set program, and I reached out to Dan to see if it was something that he'd be willing to discuss. I'm pleased to say that he said yes. Dan, how are you?
I'm okay. I really appreciate you reaching out and giving me the opportunity to talk to you about what we saw over the last two nights.
I'm really glad you're here because I believe this is important.
For sure.
We've got a lot of things to unpack. But before I dive into my list of topics that I'd like to discuss, is there anything you'd like to start off with?
Absolutely. Watching over the past two nights was very difficult, me facing my past behaviors, some of which are embarrassing and that I regret, and I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology.
Let's talk about the massages.
Okay.
Watching the content yesterday, it was disturbing.
It was wrong. It was wrong that I ever put anybody in that position. It was the wrong thing to do. I'd never do it today. I'm embarrassed that I did it then. I apologize to anybody that I ever put in that situation. And even additionally, I apologize to the people who were walking around Video Village or wherever they happened, because there were lots of people there who witnessed it who also may have felt uncomfortable. So I owe them an apology as well.
Yeah. Dan, talk to me about the writer's room. From what I saw, not cool.
No. And I don't mean to cut you off, but if I can cut right to the chase, let me just say, no writer should ever feel uncomfortable in any writer's room, ever, period, the end, no excuses. Most TV writers, comedy writers have been in writer's rooms, and they are aware that a lot of times there are inappropriate jokes made and inappropriate topics come up. But the fact that I participated in that, especially when I was leading the room, it embarrasses me. I shouldn't have done it. And I can tell you why it hurts really bad for me. I remember very clearly my early experiences, my first experiences in the entertainment business. I was green. I was scared. I was excited. It meant the world to me that I was getting those opportunities. And I went in and I got lucky because they were great. My first couple of experiences were fantastic. And the fact that I didn't pay that forward to every employee that walked through my door,
it
hurts my heart because I should have. And I wish I could go back and fix that. In the writer's room, there's no doubt that sometimes those jokes went beyond the pale and I said things that went too far or made practical jokes that went too far. And that was wrong. And that was because, you know, I was an inexperienced producer. I was immature. Wouldn't happen today. But I'm just really sorry it happened.
Yeah. Now, we know you've had a lot of success over two decades. Thousands of people have worked with you, for you.
Okay.
Let's speak directly to the people who did not have a good experience with you.
Okay. I would like to speak to those people because I hate that anybody worked for me and didn't have a good time. You know me. You've been on my sets. Look, I've had some employees that have worked for me for 10 years, some more than 20 years, who would work with me again. But not everybody. There's still a significant number that didn't have a great time working for me. So my batting average isn't nearly high enough in that area. And the way they wouldn't get the best of me is that I would let the pressure of doing 40 or even more episodes per year, I would let that pressure get to me, which a good boss should never, ever do.
Was there specific things that you were doing?
Sure. I would snap at people sometimes. Mm-hmm. I would be snarky when I could have given them a nicer answer. I would not give people the time that they needed. I would be in too big a hurry to get on to the next thing I had to do. And watching that show, it made me, there were so many times I wanted to pick up a phone and call some of those people and say, I'm so sorry, and let's talk about it. And I wish you'd had a better time, and I wish I could have shown you a better experience.
Yeah. Now, you've written hundreds of episodes. Thousands of jokes have been told.
Yeah.
But currently where we are, some people think that some of those jokes are inappropriate for children.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
All these jokes that you're speaking of, that the show covered over the past two nights, every one of those jokes was written for a kid audience because kids thought they were funny and only funny. Okay? Now we have some adults looking back at them 20 years later through their lens, and they're looking at them and they're saying, oh, you know, I don't think that's appropriate for a kid's show.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem with that. If that's how anyone feels, let's cut those jokes out of the show. Just like I would have done 20 years ago or 25 years ago. I cut it. I want my shows to be popular. I want everyone to like it. The more people who like the shows, the happier I am.
Yeah.
So if there's anything in a show that needs to be cut because it's upsetting somebody, let's cut it.
So I think it's big for you to say with your work, if it's viewed as that today, you don't have a problem.
Cut it. Cut it.
I mean, that's a solution.
The last thing I want to ever do is put any content in a show that's going to upset my audience and make them want to turn off the TV. Why would I ever want to do that?
That makes sense. I want to give you an opportunity to kind of elaborate on something.
Okay.
The thought process from the series is you had the power to just write a joke and no matter what, it's going on TV. You just had that type of power. Is that true?
The notion that I had the power to just produce whatever I wanted and have it air is completely false.
Okay.
There were many, many levels of scrutiny. Okay? We had executives in L.A. We had executives in New York.
So two coasts.
Two coasts of approval.
Coasts.
Yes. And not, and by the way, approval at every stage, really.
Okay.
And I'm talking about wardrobe. I'm talking about makeup, sound, sets, dialogue, jokes, everything.
Now, when you say approval, these, obviously that's a hierarchy, not your colleagues or people in the room. Okay.
No, not my colleagues. No, these are my bosses. Bosses, and then their bosses, and then their bosses. And they're approving all of this stuff.
Okay.
Okay? And we're also shooting it in front of all sorts of adults and caregivers and the set teacher and the families. Everybody's watching it. And if anybody had said anything, hey, we don't like that. That's not appropriate. Then it would have been cut out.
Now, I'm gonna push back a little bit because the series painted you in this way that you were just the guy that was doing what he wanted and people were afraid to confront you about things. So say, just humor me, say that that was the case. What would have been the ultimate way to...
Okay. If nobody on the set, if all of the dozens and dozens of adults that were on the set, if they didn't say anything, if my bosses said, if they insisted, you've got to make a change here, you got to cut that, I had to do it. I had no choice.
Got it. Now this next one, it kind of hit close to home.
Mm-hmm.
Being a new father, I wouldn't be opposed to my child being in the entertainment industry. It doesn't matter what age, yeah? Seeing some of those on-air dares, seeing it now from where you are now in your life, what do you think of that?
I think that some of the on-air dares went too far. I think they pushed the envelope too far. Not all of them, not most of them, but some did. Nickelodeon wanted to do their version of Fear Factor. At the time, we were shooting All That, so I was tasked with doing these on-air dares with the All That cast. So we get with the writers, and we come up with all these ideas, and it's hard to do because we don't have the budget of Fear Factor, and we can't put the kids in dangerous situations like the adults are put in. So
kids. It
was hard to, hard to come up with stuff. But we would come up with all these ideas of dares they could do. We would give them to the network, and they would say, tell us the ones that were okay.
Right.
Those are the ones we shot. Those are the ones that aired. At the time, I had no indication that any kid ever had a problem with them. But when I was watching the show over the past two nights, I now know that there were kids who did have problems with the on-air dares. And it breaks my heart. And I'm so sorry. I am so sorry to any kid who ever had to do a dare or anything that they didn't want to do or weren't comfortable doing. We went out of our way to make sure they were safe and that everything was done properly. But if a kid was scared and didn't want to do it, kids shouldn't have had to do it.
Yeah.
Period, the end.
Right.
And if I had known at the time, I would have changed it on the spot.
Now, we also saw the series highlight two former writers viewers, two women, who spoke about a wage discrepancy. Now, I know that you don't divvy out salaries. Talk to me about that part.
Well, you're correct. I have nothing to do with paying writers. I never have. I've never made a writer's deal. And of all the writers I've been in a writer's room with, I never even knew how much most of them were getting paid.
Yeah, but we saw these two women who were writers for you sharing one salary. How does that happen?
It's very simple. There's a common practice in television when hiring writers. If you have a spot for a new writer, sometimes you'll go to two writers and say, hey, if you two new writers for your first job are willing to share a salary, you can both have the job. Mm. They have the opportunity to say, yes, that sounds good, or no, thank you. In this case, it was two women writers. I've done another show where that teaming was done with two male writers, and they split a salary. I did another show where it was a male and a female writer, and they split a salary. So,
and these are all first-time writers?
All first-time writers looking for their first gig.
Got it. Now, in the series, they also highlighted two black actors who said that they felt overlooked. Now, I want to be clear. I'm never going to speak on anyone else's journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can talk about my experience, how my experience was with you, what I saw prior to working with you. But again, I don't want to speak on anyone's journey. I saw you be honored for diversity in your work.
Yes. And the reason for that is diversity has always been very important to me in my shows. If you go back to the very first Nickelodeon show I ever made, that's very evident, as it is in the second one, and then the first movie I ever made for Nickelodeon, which starred Kenan and Kel, and every show I did after that had a lead black actor in it. I'm very proud of that. It's very important to me. And not only am I proud that they were in my shows, I'm exceptionally proud of the achievements they've had beyond my shows, and they've gone on to bigger and better things, and that gives me a great sense of pride.
Well, something that really kind of bothered me was how they depicted your relationship with the cast.
Yeah, it bothered me too.
Yeah, just me being there, I knew the dynamic was trust. I understood that in situations where they may have had turmoil, whether it be with their families, whether it be other castmates, they came to you. Versus how they made you look. With that said, Amanda Bynes was brought up in the series mm-hmm. and her emancipation and how you were involved in that. Can you talk to us about it a bit?
Sure. Amanda was between the ages of 16 and 17, and she wanted to get emancipated from her parents, mm-hmm. which was a fairly common thing with successful young actors, at least at the time.
Sure.
And she wanted that for herself. So she turned to her team, which included her lawyer, her agent, her manager, her publicist, me, because she included me as part of her team, thought of me that way. We supported her. She tried to get emancipated and ended up not working out. And she didn't.
Well, since we're here, let's stay here for a moment. There was also an incident where she had ran away from home.
Yes.
She would. Can you talk to us a little bit just to clear the air of exactly what happened in that situation?
Yes. One night, it was very late, well after midnight, 1 or 2 in the morning. Phone rang. I answered. It was Amanda. She was upset. She was in distress. She had had some conflict with her parents, I think her father, and she called me. I was immediately concerned about her safety. I called someone who I knew was fairly nearby. That person was able to go and pick her up. Then I knew she was safe. I felt better. She ended up being taken to the police.
Well, regardless of what some people may think, I think it's only positive that you are there for people when they need you. That said, let's talk about some of the things that have just been swirling forever.
Okay.
You were banned from your set.
Never, never, never happened. That is a false rumor.
What happened?
Add it to the list of false
rumors. Talk to me. What happened?
They were adult actresses at the time, and they had their own specific reasons for not wanting to do the show anymore.
Mm.
I'm not judging that. It got tense, and what they don't know, maybe, is I did everything I could to make that show go away. My producer partner at the time, we would call and say, this is not a good situation.
Okay.
So I decided I'm going to do what most showrunners do, which is, you're not on the set. There's a director there to shoot it. I'll go up to the writer's room. I'll work on the next script. But
yeah.
Because everybody was so used to me caring about every detail of every show so
yeah.
much, for me not to be on the set, yeah, maybe some people thought I got banned.
So it was more of an assumption because this guy's usually here and now he's not.
I don't know if it was an assumption. I don't know if somebody thought they were making me look bad by saying I got banned from the set. I have no idea.
Okay.
All I know is I was never banned from the set.
Yep. The darkest part of this series discussed child predators. Now, I want to make sure that we clear a couple of things up.
Okay.
Brian Peck was not hired by you.
No, I did not hire Brian Peck.
This was a Tolan Robbins production?
Yeah. And when Drake and I talked and he told me what had happened, I was more devastated by that than anything that ever happened to me in my career thus far.
Mm.
And I told him, I'm here for you. What do you need? Which Drake mentioned in the show that we watched last night. And next, I heard that he went to court when this guy was being tried, Peck. And when Drake walked in, he saw 50 people sitting on the side of the courtroom supporting Peck. A lot of them pretty famous. Of course, Drake was devastated that that happened. And even more disappointing, 41 of those people wrote letters for Peck character letters praising him for who he was and asking for leniency, and they knew that he was guilty. They knew he had confessed to some degree, mm-hmm. and they still did this. That's baffling that adults would do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people know this, but Drake's mom, a lovely woman who I stay in contact with this day, she came to me at the time and she said, "Dan, I'm not good with words like you are. And would you help me with my speech for the judge?" And I said, "Of course." And I did. And he ended up going to prison and serving his time. And yeah, that was probably the darkest part of my career. And here's the kicker that I really don't get. After he got out of prison and was, to my knowledge, a registered sex offender, he was hired on a Disney Channel show. I don't understand that. I don't understand.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that, man. Are you okay? You want to take a minute?
Yeah, I'm all right. Let's keep going.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we really unpacked some important things. We set the record straight on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Before I let you get out of here, I appreciate the vulnerability that you use in knowing that there's definitely things that you would have and should have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that we haven't discussed? Anything that if you could go back and navigate the journey differently, what would that look like?
Yeah, there's definitely things that I would do differently. One that I think would be really, really important is when you're hiring young actors, minors, to work in television, I would suggest that we have a licensed therapist there to oversee that process for the specific reason of making sure that those kids really wanted to do this job, that they really wanted to be on television.
Yeah.
Maybe they should even be informed about what that means. What's it going to mean if you're famous? What's that going to mean on social media? What's it going to mean within your family? Right. Let them find out. And then that way, if a kid doesn't want to be on a TV show, they can opt out.
Yeah.
That psychologist, that therapist could come to us and say, this kid doesn't want to do it, or their parents aren't understanding of what's going to come. And then we could avoid the mistake of ever putting a kid in a TV show that didn't want to be there. And additionally, the main thing that I would change is how I treat people and everyone. I definitely at times didn't give people the best of me. I didn't show enough patience. I could be cocky and definitely overambitious and sometimes just straight up rude and obnoxious. And I am so sorry that I ever was. And all right, when I watched the show, I could see the hurt in some people's eyes and it made me feel awful and regretful and sorry. I wish I could go back, you know, especially to those earlier years of my career and bring the growth and the experience that I have now and just do a better job and never, ever feel like it was okay to be an asshole to anyone ever. Look, I wanted to make funny TV shows for kids, and we definitely did that. But if I could go back, I would get it done in different ways. I'd just be nicer as often as possible and listen more to the people on my team. And I would do everything that I could to make sure that everyone had a good experience. That's what I do differently.
Dan, I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you.
Thanks for stopping by, man.
Thank you.